you know, we're encountering the divine, and I thought maybe I'd start out with a little heresy. being raised with good Jesuit training in high school. I've always, maybe not always, but probably since those Jesuits, I've always believed that Jesus was much more of a Buddhist than Jewish. Maybe I'll argue that someday and write it down. But anyway, in that sense, and I'm no expert on Zen Buddhism, but and many of you may know this haiku, but one of the most famous haikus is by Basho, and it's translated many different ways, but it's, I think it's, you know, it's this moment of consciousness, is really where you encounter the divine. And in this, you know, this haiku, the old Khan, a frog jumps in, the sound of water. And in that haiku, it's not about the frog, it's about the sound of water. That's, you know, the moment of consciousness. But very often that gets, not very often, but in one translation, the sound of water, the translator tried to get it closer to the sound of water and translated it as plop. So this first poem starts out with a epigraph from Charles Baudelaire. Drunk with what? With wine, with poetry, or with virtue? As you please, but get drunk. This is a prose poem called At the Ancient Pot. The hanging Spanish moss looks 100 years younger today. I've drained the ancient pond through a red and white striped straw and licked the salt from the rib. The frog sings plop, and I'm token on his flip-flop and feet on mind-altering harmonic resonance. The whole band is in tune. The cool cats, the birds, the wind, the dirty swamp, cars speeding by, pulling boat trailers, the hammering on the roof, the knife as it slices the bread, the dentist drill, the girl next door practicing guitar. Wake up! Plop goes the blue-orange sunrise. Plop goes the weasel. What is the sound of stagnant water? Water filling the bathtub or poured from a bucket. Water as it gulps air swirling down the toilet. What is the sound of Eve's first orgasm echoing through the universe? Of one hand clapping. Plop, plop, plop. This poem I originally written and said this was for Dan Gostin. Some of you might know Dan. He's a Chicago poet. And Dan asks peculiar questions. And the question he asks is the title of his poem, What Does the Sun Sound Like? And I tried to write an answer to that question. The sun snaps and hisses good wood fire, I think. And the moon, if we could hear it past the earth, whoosh like steel radios on slick wet asphalt, or maybe a bass drum echoing in a desert canyon. Metaphors, nothing but metaphors for what we'll never know, the sound of a snowflake landing on my windshield, the cold inhale of a death rattle, the weight of time pouring through an hourglass. I can only imagine the grisly void as the tornado grinding over my roof like a locomotive dragging through a midnight intersection. We don't know even what we know. Reality sandwiches are served, my friend. So natural the metaphor of mayonnaise. Don't hide the madness. Eat. Eat today to the last breadcrumb. Tomorrow we will hunger again. I just got back from New York last night. I was reading at Spalding University. And a bunch of us were good friends with Rain, who was a teacher there. Rain died a couple years ago. So it was a little getting together of the alumni talking about Rain. But one of the things that Rain had said, and his he was raised Catholic, but he had an evangelist in his family. I think it was his uncle, his Jehovah's Witness. He had a whole mix of religions in his world. But he said his religion was poetry. And considering I drove 5 hours to read for 7 minutes yesterday, and I drove 5 hours back today to read 8 minutes, there must be something to poetry in his religion. But it's a pleasure to be here, and I'm very grateful to be part of this group today. But this was a poem for Rainy. It's called Unsigned Poem Found on a Crumpled Cocktail Napkin. What bodhisattva stands naked in my garden tonight, drenched in white moonlight? Stars snow down in whirling gusts as if there were a wind, and he, arms outstretched, fingers wide, throws his head back, tongue out, as if to catch, to taste powdered star flakes, while his cock crows with joy. He caresses grassy shadows with his toes. Green tomatoes, freed of their vine, are cold and hiding and waiting to be danced upon. This naked poet tangos through my garden, the rhythm of savored gloves. His footprints encircle my stone Buddha like printed salsa dance steps numbered and ready for me to follow into prayers, undressed. Or long nights of ticking clocks, or dark, dark coffee sweeping with anisette, the warm, unveiled swallow, this mysterious angel. Well, anyway, in Catholicism, at least the way I was brought up, we didn't hear a heck of a lot about Joseph the carpenter. And I'm sure that, you know, Jesus had been trained as a carpenter, because that's what fathers do. And I think it was Gary Snyder who said, poets should have calluses on their hands. This poem is, I guess, about being a carpenter. Anyway, it's called A Good Hammer. Blessed are the splinters, the little cuts that never bleed, the dark blue-black fingernails. At 53, you long for more hours as a carpenter, nailing and planing, a pencil behind your ear, sawdust on your shoes, the clean, sweet smell of fresh-cut lumber in the basement, the backyard, in the new attic bedroom. Eager for that brief moment when you close the toolbox and exhale the good and strong of completion, something your sons can sit on, climb up, or walk under. What is a marketing manager anyway? A son should see his father's work, see that a sound joint fitted in the wind will hold against rain and hail and time, should remember his father's sweat. You've learned the only tool you need, finally, is a good hammer, and maybe sometimes a fountain pen, love you can hold in your hand. Dedicate to the new father. So I'm going to end.
There's nothing I build that my son's ever going to be able to walk.
You never know. You want an old house in Oak Park, you need to learn it quick. I'm going to end with this poem, Walk With Me. At 54, my knee hurts when I run, but I can walk. I can walk from here to Dallas to New Orleans, from the Coliseum to the Spanish Steps. Hold my hand. Only our shoes will be the worse for wear. Your questions are always a step ahead of me. Whisper in my ear. Let's keep walking. Only 10,000 paces from here to midnight, to the breathless ancient pond. We'll listen for Basho's frog.